Cirque du Soleil returns to El Paso with multiple performances of OVO from April 12th through the 16th at the Don Haskins Center. OVO, meaning egg in Portuguese, is a headlong rush into a colorful ecosystem teeming with life where insects work, eat, crawl, flutter, play, fight, and look for love in a nonstop riot of energy and movement. When a mysterious egg appears in their midst, the insects are awestruck and intensely curious about this iconic object that represents the enigma and cycles of their lives. The cast of OVO is comprised of 50 performing artists from 12 countries specializing in many acrobatic acts. Here to tell us about it is performer Kyle Krager. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here, Kyle. And you're a Texan.
Yes, I am. I'm from Houston, Texas, born and raised.
That's awesome. So, I mean, are there any other Texans in this cast?
There are some that are from Texas in the crew.
All right. We'll accept that.
I'm not completely alone.
we'll accept that. That counts.
Exactly. It counts for me, at least.
This is a super rare opportunity for us to actually speak to a Cirque du Soleil performer. So I just kind of wanted to know more about your story. I mean, how do you know that this is what you want to do?
Well, actually, it's funny. I started competing in gymnastics when I was 7 years old. So starting that year, my mother and I would travel a lot around basically our region when I was a lot younger, and then I started competing nationally. So we were traveling during the winter from like January until June is our competition season. So we travel all around and do all sorts of stuff. And one year I was at Disney World with my family, actually, and I saw a Cirque du Soleil show that they have there. It's called La Nuba. And I can't quite explain why I just totally fell in love with it. I think it had something to do with me seeing a discipline that I was good at and that I was already competent in that was just transformed into that, you know, that show platform, that magic feeling and the connection with the audience and the music and the costumes. And I think just everything about the show overtook me. And when I walked out of the theater, I told my parents that I wanted to work for Cirque du Soleil one day.
Yeah, that's it. I'm joining the circus.
Yeah, no, honestly, exactly. And so, you know, my parents kind of rolled their eyes and they're like, okay, our 9-year-old wants to work for the circus one day. That'll work out, sure. And then I started to just train by myself, practice by myself. My mom would always try to find opportunities for me to be able to get formal teaching because there's not a lot of circus in Texas, even now, and even less when I was growing up. So we just kept fighting. And eventually I moved to Canada when I was 15 to go to the National Circus School in Montreal, which is right across the street from Cirque du Soleil headquarters. And I trained there for 5 years. And upon graduating, I had a contract offer with Cirque du Soleil. So that's sort of long story short. But
wow. So, okay, what about your friends in gymnastics? Were they like, yeah, circus, whatever? Or were they behind you? Or how did you make that transition?
Well, my friends definitely supported me, but my friends in gymnastics, I was the only one that was interested in circus. It wasn't like there were a few of us that thought it was really cool and that we'd practice together and all that sort of stuff. I was kind of always a lone wolf. A lot of my friends that did gymnastics before, some of them went to college, like very few, two or three, but most of them just kind of competed gymnastics, like playing regular sport. And then by the time they got into high school, they had other priorities at school and kind of quit and all that sort of stuff. But my parents and my family were always super supportive of it. And I think that's one of the reasons why I'm here now is my mom and dad really did everything that they could in their power to push me forward and let me have the best opportunities to be able to achieve my goals. So
hats off to them, because when your kid says, I want to join the circus, I mean, you know, you could be like, okay, but they took you to Montreal. Those are good parents.
Yeah, exactly. I think at first it's kind of a weird concept and it's kind of a stunning concept. And just because of my obsession with circus, I kind of enlightened them about the whole circus community as I was learning about it myself. You know, that it's not just doing shows for free or whatever, any of that kind of thing. It's like there are good companies such as Cirque du Soleil that, you know, that provide lots of benefits, really great pay, great tour plans, great shows. So I think I kind of showed them that I could actually have a great life and enjoy working and all that sort of stuff with the circus. And then, of course, you know, maybe one day I'll move on to something else. But and then upon realizing that, then they really let me push and they helped push me. So, yeah, I am definitely very fortunate in that sense.
Now, in this OVO show you play, is it a dragonfly that you play?
Yes, I'm a dragonfly. Sounds kind of weird. Yeah, I'm a dragonfly in the show.
I mean, it's circus, right? Once you're in the circus world, it makes complete sense. But your talent is, or you're doing a lot of like, is it head balancing, hand balancing?
I'm a hand balancing contortionist. So So I'm on one arm sometimes, bent in half sometimes, and I have a big structure in the show. It looks like a plant. And so I'm kind of on, you know, spiraling on that, rolling on and off of that, interacting with characters. That's my main act. And then, of course, I have, you know, you'll see me in other places in the show, not just for my act, but.
Okay, so I got to ask, how long does it take you to get dressed and makeup and all that stuff?
Well, our show call for all of the artists is an hour and a half before the show. So we have to be at the arena, not necessarily ready to go, but at the arena preparing, you know, whether it be eating, stretching, warming up, all that sort of stuff. We have to be there an hour and a half before. But normally I prepare about 2 hours before. I usually try to start my makeup between 2 hours and an hour 45 before the show. And I usually give myself 45 minutes to warm up about. I tend to be at the arena before I need to be there and, you know, sort of train, chat, eat, that sort of stuff. But usually it takes me about 2 hours from beginning to end, my typical everyday preparation.
And is that part of the Cirque du Soleil training? Because I'm under the impression that all the performers, you kind of do your own makeup. You're in charge of yourself.
Yeah, honestly, we are. That's just the general guideline that everyone has to follow, the hour and a half. But most people, I mean, I'm definitely not the first one to arrive at the arena usually. So most of us are already there preparing, working out because our livelihood, it's our body. So
how long have you been on the road?
Well, I've only been with this show since the middle of October.
Okay.
So it's been, you know, about 5 months, a little over 5 months.
So you graduated, went straight to the show, and now 5 months in.
Basically, yeah. Well, I graduated and I did a summer show with a different company until September. And then I arrived at headquarters for Cirque du Soleil in September, started creating my act in Montreal, and then headed off. I had about 6 or 7 weeks there, and then I headed off on tour. So yeah, it's been about 5 months on the road.
Prior to becoming a part of Cirque du Soleil, is there anything that, okay, so there's this idea of what it is to be a performer, and then there's the reality of what it is. Are there certain things, certain expectations that maybe you had that are different, or vice versa? Or just, I guess, what have you learned in these 5 months?
Well, I'm 20 years old now. I decided that I wanted to work for Cirque before I was 10. So it's been a really long time coming. So I've definitely had a change of perspective. You know, of course, when you're little and you're really, really dreaming, and I didn't even really have my foot in the door of the circus community, if I could say, it definitely seems a lot more magical than what it actually is when it turns into your everyday job.
Right.
Or I should say that there's a different magic. But, you know, in all the work that I did and going to the National Circus School and pushing myself into an environment at that circus school where the point is to train until you reach this caliber of professionalism circus-wise, in that environment, then you find out more what it's actually like, because kids that graduated from my school the year that I got there ended up working for Cirque, and then I have a connection with them, so I talk to them and I ask them questions. So by the time that I actually signed my contract, or actually before that, 2 or 3 years before that, I knew what all of the realities would be. So there's not much that surprised me, other than the fact that it just still, it's always surreal. You know, it's like yesterday we arrived at this beautiful hotel. I'm like, oh my goodness, I can't believe that I'm working for such an amazing company. And every day before I go on stage, I still kind of pinch myself. I have a little moment actually every day before I go on stage where I smile and all that I think is you're here. Like, you're doing it. It's real. But then the second that I step on stage, it just feels so normal because I do it all the time.
Right, you're at
and
work.
I spent so many years doing some different productions, and I had some professional experience before getting here, of course. So all of a sudden, this big name Cirque du Soleil that I dreamed of forever and ever, I can't let that distract me. I can't focus on that because otherwise I can't do my job properly. So I think that's the only thing that I'm still kind of getting used to, is that it's really real, and this is what it is, you know? And it's like, I couldn't think of quite a great example, but things always feel different when it's in first person, even if you knew what to expect.
Right.
You know?
And you're in the magic, because, I mean, you're creating worlds for us that are just, you know, unimaginable. I mean, other than,
exactly.
You know, you can connect with the insects. Okay, you know, I've seen a dragonfly, but to be one and to be a part of the magic, and to know, this is what's refreshing to me, to know that the magic isn't gone for you as a performer. Because, you know, you also see, like, all the circus clowns that, like, smoking cigarettes or whatever, you know, the real clowns. To know that it's still magical for you, but different, is really refreshing.
Definitely. And I'm not only speaking for myself, I'm speaking for all of the artists on tour. I think that we're very, very appreciative of our job, and we're really happy to be here. And, you know, something that I tell people all the time is that one of my favorite parts of my job is putting a smile on people's faces. To be on stage, I'm a soloist, so in my case, to be on stage alone as a soloist and look into the eyes of someone that's sitting in the audience and have them smile back and react back, or be shocked that they had a human connection with this quote-unquote, like, ethereal dragonfly on stage, you know, is a really nice feeling. It's grounding. But at the same time, there's just so many aspects of that are gratifying, you know? So I think that we're definitely aware of that and appreciative of that, even though sometimes, you know, we kind of have to step back and go, whoa, 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 get some perspective, because when you're in it every day and, you know, we do 4 shows in 2 days every weekend. So it's definitely a lot of work, and it's definitely draining physically and mentally, but I think that all of us have that perspective that we're very, very fortunate. And among a few thousand, but still worldwide, very few artists work for professional companies that are as incredible as this one. So
it's true. And to know that there's a connection there, that you're looking at the audience and you're truly looking at somebody, it's refreshing to know that, you know, because you go to a show, you think somebody saw you, you know, like everybody swears they made eye contact with the dragonfly.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that the dragonfly saw you back, that's pretty cool.
That connection, I think, is the thing that's the most irreplaceable about this sort of job, is I get to share my passion, I get to do what I love, and I get to connect with other people in that way. And I think the reason why it hits me the most is because I remember being that little boy in the crowd, wanting the performer to look at me, like sitting there in amazement, wishing that I could do that one day, wondering if I could ever do that one day. And then just kind of looking back and having that hindsight is quite something.
Well, we're thankful for it, and we're thankful that you're doing it, and we're thankful for your parents letting you run away and join the circus.
Yes, I am too.
Today, my guest has been Kyle Krager. He plays the dragonfly in a Cirque du Soleil's OVO, which will be here in El Paso from April 12th through the 16th. And just know that he is looking at you. Thank you so much, Kyle, for being on State of the Arts.
Thank you for having me.